stone it will return upon him. A lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, just thank you for your word. Thank you for this church and for our pastor. Just ask you that you would be with him now. Please just strengthen him, fill him with your Holy Spirit, and please just give us ears to hear your word as it's preached and to take heed to it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Okay, we're in Proverbs chapter 26. Look down at your Bibles at verse number 1. It says, as snow in summer and as rain in harvest, so honor is not seemly for a fool. And on Sunday mornings, we're going through a series entitled Proverbial Personalities. I'm basically giving an overview of each of the individuals that are mentioned in the book of Proverbs. And, you know, think about, for example, the wise, you think about the simple, you think about the sluggard. Well, today, this morning, we're going to go over the fool. And as I mentioned last week, a proverb, by definition, is simply a short, effective statement that imparts wisdom, prudence, and or knowledge. And it's really knowledge about these particular characters that we're going to look at throughout the next couple of weeks. Last week, we talked about the simple. And the simple, in simplest terms, is just someone who is stupid. Okay. Now today, you know, that's offensive to a lot of people to call someone stupid or to say that someone is stupid or whatever it may be. But really what it means to be stupid is to be simple-minded. In other words, you are deficient of knowledge. You are deficient of wisdom. You are deficient of prudence. And therefore, according to the Bible, there's certain consequences that you're going to suffer. Now, if someone is simple-minded, it doesn't mean that they're evil. It doesn't mean that they're wicked. It doesn't mean they have bad intentions. It just means that they are deficient of certain knowledgeable things that can benefit them and really cause them to not suffer certain consequences. And here's the thing is that when it comes to the simple and the fool, both of them actually experience the same consequences, okay? The fool and the simple, they both suffer the same consequences. The difference is the fool knows what the Bible says and the simple does not. And last week we talked about the simple person and what it means to be simple. I want to encourage you to go listen to that sermon if you haven't already, and what you can do to grow from that. And remember that last week, we basically said that all of us, to a certain extent, started off as simple people or simple Christians. I mean, as children, children are simple-minded. They're very impressionable. They basically believe anything that you tell them. If, you know, that's why we got to be careful with who influences our children. But in like manner, you know, a newborn Christian can be simple-minded as well. You know, they're very impressionable, they're born again, they don't have a whole lot of knowledge of God's word. And so the goal of a Christian is to grow in knowledge and wisdom of God's word, to grow in the fear of God in order to gain that knowledge. Now this morning, as I mentioned, we're going to go over the fool. And Proverbs chapter 26 is actually the chapter that has more statements about the fool than any other chapter in the book of Proverbs. Now there's plenty of other chapters that mention the fool, maybe about 9 or 10 times. But 26 is the one who really just hits on the fool. And really, virtually the entire book of Proverbs talks about the fool, which shows us that this is a really important subject, okay? And there's a reason why he's being brought up over and over and over again, and that is because God does not want us to be foolish, okay? He doesn't want us to be fools. He doesn't want us to be a scorner. He doesn't want us to behave stupidly. He wants us to have knowledge and wisdom and prudence and the fear of God. Now, if we were to draw a spectrum, okay, of all these individuals, if we were to put them on a scale from the worst to the best, you know, the fool would be on one side of the spectrum and the wise would be on the complete opposite side, okay? So they're on opposite sides of the spectrum. They're on polar opposites. And in the middle, you would have, for example, you have the fool at the one side of the spectrum, and then you have, you know, the angry man, you have the slothful man, and then you have the simple, you have the diligent, and you have the wise. And the goal for us as Christians is to be as far away, or should I say far away from the left as possible, amen? Amen. Far away from being a fool, far away from being slothful, far away from being angry, far away from that particular side of the spectrum. We want to be closer to being a diligent man, a wise man, a man who fears the Lord, okay? Go to Proverbs chapter 7, if you would. Proverbs chapter 7. We'll come back to Proverbs 26 throughout the sermon, and we'll basically remain in the book of Proverbs. We might go to different portions of Scripture throughout the Bible. Let me give you a definition of what a fool is, okay? And, you know, a lot of people will say fool, like, you know, they'll use it in slang terms. But the reality is this, is that a fool in the Bible is actually an individual who knows what God's word says and just disregards it.
Yep. Yeah.
That's a fool. Okay? So a simple-minded man doesn't know what God's word says, and he doesn't necessarily disregard it because he just doesn't know it in the first place.
Yep.
You understand? Whereas a fool knows what God's word says. He knows what the Bible says. He knows biblical teaching, and he says, I'm not going to obey it. We would say that person is a fool.
Amen.
Why? Because God's word should be regarded. It should be esteemed. It should be obeyed. And, you know, especially the practical things of the Bible, where God says, hey, if you do this, this is the consequence you're going to suffer. Or if you do this, this is how you can become successful. The person who looks at that and says, nah, I'm going to do it my way, is a person who the Bible classifies as being a fool. Okay? So a fool is an individual who knows God's word and disregards it. Now, when you study the book of Proverbs, you really come to the conclusion that anybody can be a fool. Okay? From the most extreme, for example, a wicked person, an evil person, a reprobate, a false prophet, the Bible would classify them as being fools. But the Bible also tells us that Christians or believers can be fools. They can become foolish people, okay? Now, look at Proverbs chapter 7. You know, what is a fool good for? Let me show you what a fool is good for, okay? It says in verse 21 of Proverbs 7, with her much fair speech, she caused him to yield with flattering. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter. Look what it says here. Or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. The correction of the stocks is another way of saying it is to be arrested. If you think of stocks that are placed on the feet so they don't move, you know, these are people who are often put on public display as a public example to everyone else. So what's something that we can learn from the fool? Well, anything. All you have to do is look upon the fool and learn from him. They're like a person who is in the correction of the stocks. They're not necessarily meant to be discipled. They're not meant to be invested in. They're not meant to be dealt with or have companionship with. They're actually meant to just be observed and learn from them. You understand? As a person who is in the correction of the stocks. Go to Proverbs chapter 26. Go back to Proverbs 26 if you would. I'm going to read to you from Proverbs 19, verse 29. It says, judgments are prepared for scorners and stripes for the back of fools. Stripes means a whipping, a beating. It says that the stripes are prepared for the backs of fools. Proverbs 26, verse 3 says, a whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, and a rod for the fool's back. That's some pretty strong language there. So it's comparing the fool to the ass and to the horse, which are both animals. You know, an animal is someone who you whip, you know, you got to discipline. They don't necessarily have human judgment. And God places a fool on the same level as an animal sometimes. Because sometimes they just don't listen. Most of the time, fools don't listen, okay? So the best thing you can do with the fool is learn from them. Don't try to convert them. Don't try to argue with them. You know, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou be like unto him, the Bible tells us. You know, all you're going to gain when you argue with the fool is just frustration.
Amen.
You're going to get angry. You're going to grow frustrated. You're just going to be upset. You're going to be stressed out. The best thing to do is to observe them from afar and recognize that this person undermines God's word, doesn't want to know what God's word says. Therefore, it's not worth engaging with them. You understand? And this is some practical advice for you on the internet. On Facebook, okay, on YouTube, or on Instagram. A lot of foolish people out there on the internet, are there not? No offense to our YouTube listeners. I'm sure there's some wise people out there. But I guarantee you there's some fools who are listening right now.
Yeah.
You know, I know it feels good every once in a while to just kind of go back and forth with them, especially if you got yourself a good little comeback. But the reality is this, is that God doesn't want us to engage with fools because there's no profit in it. You're not going to be able to help them. You can't convert them. They'll never see it your way. Why? Because they already know your way. And they're disregarding the ways of the Lord. Okay? Let me give you some random verses about the fool before we get into the main characteristics. First and foremost, go to Proverbs chapter 3 if you would. Proverbs chapter 3. Let me give you some random verses about the fool, random points about them. Is that a fool will never really succeed or exceed in life. The only promotion they'll get is this. Look what the Bible says in Proverbs 3:35. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools, the Bible says. So the only promotion, the only type of success, the only way they'll be successful is be successful in being a fool and being ashamed. That's what the Bible says, okay? You know, I don't know about you, but, you know, I want good promotions. I want God to magnify me. You know, if I was working in the secular world, I would want a raise from my boss. I would want to have the praise of my boss or whatever, the recognition, so I can continue to move up. I don't want shame to be my promotion. But that's the only promotion that is designated for the fool. The Bible says in Proverbs 10, verse 18, he that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. So a person who lies because, you know, they hate you, so they tell certain lies, or they utter a slander, they'll just throw out, you know, railing accusations out there. According to the Bible, that person is just a fool, okay? It says in verse 23, it is as sport to the fool to do mischief, but a man of understanding hath wisdom. This is a good verse for you teenagers out there who go to, like, a public school. You know, don't hang out with the young people of this world whose only sport they want to be involved in is mischief. Yeah. Hey, let's go out on Friday night. Let's go out on Saturday night and get involved in mischief and go drink and hang out and vandalize or do whatever. You know, that's a sport to them. And the Bible tells us that the man of understanding hath wisdom. The man of understanding sees that and says, no, I don't want to get a DUI. No, I don't want to die. You know, no, I don't want to get arrested. I don't want a blemish on my record. I don't want to be involved in mischief. That's not my sport. My sport is soccer. My sport is basketball. My sport is, you know, jiu-jitsu or whatever it may be, you know. But don't let mischief be a sport. And if that's your sport, then you're a fool, according to the Bible. The Bible says in Proverbs 13, verse 19, the desire accomplishes sweet to the soul, but it is an abomination to fools to depart from evil. So a fool's like, why would I want to depart from drinking? Why would I want to stop smoking weed? Why would I want to stop, you know, fornicating? I wouldn't want to do it. That's an abomination to me. They're a fool. It is an abomination to fools to depart from evil. The Bible says in Proverbs 13, verse 20, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed, the Bible says. So if your close circle of friends are just a bunch of fools whose sport is mischief, who, you know, think it's an abomination to depart from evil, eventually you will be destroyed. Even if you come to this church, you hear the preaching of God's word, you're King James only, you're a Baptist, you're saved, you can have all those things. But if you're only surrounding yourself with fools, eventually you will be destroyed. Well, I'm trying to convert my fools. I'm trying to convert my fools around me. Well, that doesn't really work that way. Amen. You know, if you have one wise man who's surrounded by fools, eventually that wise man will be influenced by the fools. Right. It doesn't really work the other way around. You need to outnumber them. That's the only way it'll work. And even then, you know, when it comes to a fool, it's not likely you're going to be able to convert them. Proverbs 14:9 says, fools make a mock at sin. Proverbs 15:14 says, the heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness, the Bible says. So their spiritual diet, their entertainment diet is often foolishness, the Bible tells us. Proverbs 17:24 says, wisdom is before him that hath understanding, but the eyes of a fool are in the ends of the earth. What does that mean? It's telling us that, you know, a person who is wise, wisdom is always before him. Understanding is always before him. It's always at arm's length. It's always there ready for them as long as they're willing to be wise. Whereas the fool can look for wisdom all the days of their life and they'll never find it. Right. They'll look to the ends of the earth. They'll go, you know, they can go look for the shaman in Brazil. Go, you know, experiment with ayahuasca. They can go to the mountains of India to go look for the wisdom. They'll never find it. Why? Because it's foolish to them. Why? Because we have wisdom right here. The wisdom and the understanding of this world is found right here in this book. We don't need to go to Antarctica or something to go discover wisdom. We can find it right here in God's word. You understand? Go to Proverbs chapter 1, Proverbs chapter number 1. So let me give you some characteristics of the fool. And my hope this morning is that if there's someone in here who exerts maybe some of these qualities, that you would just correct this in your life. Amen? Amen. And not take this in an offensive way or think, oh, man, pastor's attacking me. He's calling me a fool or something like that. You know, all of us can have a tendency or propensity, if we're not careful, to become foolish in our Christian life. And the goal should be that we correct it. The goal should be that we add to ourselves knowledge and wisdom and prudence. So what's characteristic number one? Well, the fool, as I mentioned, has an aversion for knowledge. Now, what does that mean? Fools tend to be hostile towards knowledge and wisdom. Okay? In other words, they just kind of scorn at wisdom. They scorn at knowledge. They don't really have a diet for it. You know, you think of a woman who is pregnant, for example. Okay? They'll often talk to each other and they'll say, what is your aversion? Is that correct? You know, like, what is repugnant to you? Because, you know, sometimes women, when they're pregnant, they can, you know, their hormones are kind of going all crazy and stuff. And then, you know, there's certain foods that they liked in times past that now while they're pregnant is just completely repugnant to them. Even the look of it or the smell of it. How many know what I'm talking about? Ladies, don't leave me up here on the island by myself. Jose, why are you raising your hand? Jose, like, yeah. Witness. Are you the witness? He raised both hands. He's like, that's true, though. You know, it's just like a meal that they would consider to be delightful or their favorite. When they're pregnant, they're just like, oh, I can't even look at that. Like, I don't even want to smell it. I don't want to look upon it. It's like an unclean thing to them, right? That's an aversion. Well, the fool is the same way, but with knowledge. So the fool has an aversion to knowledge. It's repugnant to them. And in fact, look what the Bible says in Proverbs 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Look at verse 22. How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. That's some strong language there. They hate it. They despise it. They scorn at it. This is why we should never seek to convert the fool. Because you're trying to convert the fool with rubies and gold and treasures and God's wisdom, which is valuable, but they despise that. Okay? They hate it. It's repugnant to them. Now, why is that? Well, Proverbs 24, go to Proverbs 26, if you would. Proverbs chapter 26. Proverbs 24, verse 7 says, wisdom is too high for a fool. He openeth not his mouth in the gate. So why is it that they hate knowledge and wisdom? Because it's just too high for them. They can't understand it. It's not on their level. You are not on their level. And their level is, you know, they fools, according to the Bible, are of the baser sort. You are on a higher level. Doesn't mean you're better than them. It means you're better off because you have knowledge and wisdom of God's word. It's too high for them. Okay? Proverbs 26, verse 7 says, the legs of the lame are not equal, so is a parable in the mouth of fools. Now, lame here in the Bible is not the way, you know, people use it today, like as a diss or an insult. Dude, you're lame. You know, that was lame. Lame means, just simply means, you know, crippled, unequal. You know, the legs of the lame is referring to a person who is crippled. They're kind of uneven. They're incapable of walking. They don't really go together. Okay, they're not compatible. The legs are not compatible one with another. So it says there, so is a parable in the mouth of fools. A parable is a dark saying. It's a proverb. It's something that requires spiritual discernment. And the Bible says that just as the legs of a crippled person are not compatible, in like manner, a parable or God's word is not compatible in the mouth of a fool. Amen. That's why I never go to a fool to interpret the Bible. Because they'll give you some crazy interpretation of it. You don't want to go to like the Mormon church for interpretation of the Bible. Okay? You never want to go to Jehovah's Witness for the interpretation of the Bible. Okay? Why? Because it's like a parable. It's like the lames of the lame that are not equal. They don't go together. Don't try to go to a fool for advice. If you know that someone around you is a fool, don't go to them and say, hey, what do you think about this? What's your advice about this? Why? Because a parable does not belong in the mouth of a fool. It's incompatible. It says in verse 9, as a thorn goeth up into the hand of a drunkard, so is a parable in the mouth of fools. So a fool hates talking about God's word. It's like a thorn going into the hand of a drunkard. They despise it. You understand? So just as a thorn is in the hand of a drunkard and it's there and it just kind of hurts, you know, because they're just being stupid, they're being a drunkard, in like manner, that's the way a parable is in the mouth of a fool. They despise God's word. They don't want to know what you have to say about God. They scorn at knowledge. What does it mean to scorn? It means they kind of make fun of the Bible. They mock the Bible. Okay. Oh, you believe in that sky daddy? No, I believe in God.
Amen.
What's a sky daddy? That's a scornful statement.
Amen.
You know? Oh, yeah, Christianity is a white man's religion. What do you mean I'm brown?
Amen.
I see a bunch of people here who are not white. There are some white folks in here. My wife being one of them. Yeah. I see another white man right there in the corner, Jacob. Oh, that's a white man's religion. No, it's a human race religion.
Amen.
It's a religion for the human race.
Yeah.
Not for the white race, not for the black race. It's for everyone.
Amen.
But statements like this should lead you or be an indication that the person you're talking to is a fool. Because
yeah.
They're scorning at the Bible. Oh, there's so many. Look, how many times have you heard this? Oh, man, I don't even believe that. That book was written by man. Why should I believe that's written by man? It's like, well, duh. Yeah, I mean, Hosea is a man. Peter's a man. But the author of the book is God.
Amen.
All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished, perfect unto all good works.
Amen.
So yeah, man, God used man to pen down the word of God, but it's his content.
Right.
He is the author of this book.
Amen.
Oh, why should I? I don't believe the Bible. There's all kinds of contradictions. Anytime someone tells me that, I close the Bible and I say, go show me at least one of them. Oh, it's all over. Oh, then you should be able to find it easily then.
Yeah.
Oh, it's there. I mean, it's all there. I don't really have time to, you know. Oh, but you have time to criticize the Bible.
Right.
But you don't have time to back up your claims that there's all kinds of contradictions in the Bible. Folks, the Bible has zero contradictions.
Amen.
No prophecy of the Scripture is given of any private interpretation for, you know, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. They're the ones who were instruments in God's hand to pen down the word of God, but there are no mistakes in the Bible. The person who says there's mistakes in the Bible has never read the Bible cover to cover once. Every single person who claims that the Bible has contradictions has never, I guarantee you, has never read the Bible cover to cover once. How do you know that? You know how I know that? Because I know there's Christians out there who haven't even read it cover to cover once. And they believe God's word. I mean, they know that it's true. In spite of not reading it cover to cover. How much more those who hate the word of God, scorn at the Bible, mock the Bible, they don't read it. They're parroting what some atheist said out there.
Yeah.
But it should come as no surprise. Because the Bible tells us in 2 Peter 3:3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers. Scoffers is just a simple way of another way of saying mockers. Okay? Walking after their own lust, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of.
Amen.
So when it says that they're willingly ignorant, it's referring to a fool. Because they know what the truth is, but they choose to be willingly ignorant about it. You understand? It's a mocker, a scoffer of God's word. That is what a fool is. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't Christians out there who have sincere questions about the Bible.
Amen.
Even of questions that may pertain to, some sort of what they would think to be a contradiction in the Bible. I mean, haven't you ever read a passage in the Bible that's just like, I don't really understand what this says. You know, because I'm young in the Lord, I could almost see that this could be like a contradiction. I know that it's not because it's God's word. I just don't know how to interpret it. How many of you have ever had a time like that?
Right.
Okay. Plenty of times in the Bible that I've read it that's like that. But you know what? Reading the Bible for the last 15 years, I've learned there are no contradictions in the Bible.
Yeah.
So even those that I thought, well, this doesn't really make sense with any other passage, but I'm gonna believe it anyways. Eventually, later on in the future, with reading it over and over again, the answer came, and I'm like, okay, I understand it now.
Yep. Right. Yeah.
Okay? So there's nothing wrong with having a sincere question about the Bible. The wrong attitude towards the Bible is like, oh, well, you know, because I don't understand it, therefore it's wrong. I don't understand it, therefore it's not inspired by God. Don't mock or scoff at the Bible, okay?
Amen.
The Bible says in Proverbs 10:21, the lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. Proverbs 8:5 says, oh, you simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be of an understanding heart. Proverbs 27, go to Proverbs 27. By the way, fools are stubborn. They're adamantly stubborn. Okay? And you know what? You may have dealt with a fool in your family or something. Okay? Or at your job, you know, or in church. I don't know. You know, hopefully not in church. They're stubborn people sometimes.
Right.
Let me give you an example. Proverbs 27, verse 22. Though thou shouldest bray a fool in a mortar among wheat with the pestle, yet will not his foolishness depart from him. Now, what is mortar with the pestle? What does it mean to do that? Or bray a fool in mortar with the pestle? I don't know. When I was like 21, I went to Guatemala, and they used to have this bowl, this almost like a stone bowl. And it was like a grinder, and you would grind meal or whatever it may be. What this is basically saying is when you, if you were to compare that wheat to a fool, you can just dig into them and say, look, this is what the Bible says. Look, this is wisdom. And you can do it over and grind and grind and grind. And then when you open it, it's still wheat. Like it's not, it hasn't even changed. You can try to grind a fool to powder. It will not work. Foolishness will not depart from him. You can argue. You can come up with the best arguments. You can show them 100 verses from the Bible. You can come up with the best comebacks. Foolishness will never depart from him.
Yeah, right.
This is basically showing us that you can go to some extreme measures in order to convince a fool, but his foolishness will not depart from him. It's part of who he is. Because he hates knowledge and wisdom. Go to Proverbs chapter 17. So number one is he has an aversion for knowledge. And we as God's people should never, ever despise knowledge. And let me say this. Knowledge of the Bible or even secular knowledge.
Amen.
Right? Common sense, scientific, secular knowledge and wisdom. We should not despise that.
Right.
Well, yeah, but it's not in the Bible. Yeah, but if it's scientific, it could be proven.
Right. Yeah.
Folks, the Bible's not a science book. Okay? Right. There's some scientific stuff in here in the Bible, but it's a spiritual book. There's plenty of other material out there that is actually, you know, scientific, it's true, it's knowledge. We should esteem those things, okay? And not follow cunningly devised fables or science falsely so-called. We should desire true knowledge and true science. And, I can get on other things about science and stuff that people believe today. But what I'm saying is this, is that, you know, we should not be despisers of knowledge. We should not be despisers of wisdom. We should have a thirst for knowledge and wisdom, okay? Whether from the Bible or from the secular realm, obviously the Bible should be preeminent.
Amen.
But we should never have an aversion for it, okay? We should always have an appetite for knowledge, okay? Always wanting to learn and grow and have wisdom. You're in Proverbs chapter 17. Number two, this. The fool, listen to this, will not take correction. The fool will not take correction. Okay, the fool can't accept any type of correction or admonishment. And let me say this, you know, sometimes, you know, children can be this way, right? Toddlers, they have a hard time taking correction. You know, especially if you got yourself a rambunctious one. Okay, they're just a little stubborn, a little strong-willed, right? You know, I got one of those, you know, in my household. You know, it doesn't mean he's a bad little boy. It just means that he's just strong-willed, he's stubborn, and he has a hard time taking correction, you know? Like, I'll give you an example, okay? We have one particular child. We put them all to sleep. We have a certain time where we put them asleep. They're upstairs. My wife and I are downstairs talking. And sure enough, you know, because they're supposed to stay in bed. It's like, stay in bed, go to sleep. It's time to sleep. And he comes down. And he gets a spanking because he needs to obey. It's time to sleep. You get it? You go back upstairs. 5 minutes later, comes downstairs, gets another spanking. This happens for like 6 times. And I'm like, surely on the 7th, he will understand. And you know, and he, the boy has a high tolerance for pain, apparently, you know. But you know what? He comes back down. And then he just peeks out the corner. Mommy. It's like, why are you laughing, son? You know, he peeks out and he gets it. It's just stubborn. No matter how much we correct the boy, you know, he's just stubborn. And obviously the Bible tells us foolishness is what? Bound in the heart of a child.
Right.
So this is just a natural thing, okay? So moms, don't get frustrated when your kids are just strong-willed and you feel like, man, the spankings aren't working, it's not going to work, I've just been doing it, I do it so much. It takes a lifetime sometimes, okay? And look, don't get discouraged if you have a strong-willed child. That's a good thing. Amen. You want them to be strong-willed. They just need a little more training. And trust me, when they grow up, they'll be very adamant about the things of God if you train them right. Okay? You got to raise them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. You know, they just need a higher degree of discipline sometimes. Doesn't mean you're a bad parent. Doesn't mean you just don't know what you're doing. Doesn't mean you're supposed to give up. It just means God gives you different degrees of children. Some just obey more readily, right? I mean, some kids are just like, okay. The other one's just like, no. You know, and it doesn't, you can't look at that and say, oh man, I'm such a bad parent or something. I just can't. No, you'd be a bad parent if you don't do anything about that. The bad parents are the ones who are like in the grocery stores and the kids are just throwing themselves on the floor and they're just throwing this tantrum and you just don't do anything about it. Okay? Because look, even my kids have thrown tantrums. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Okay? They throw tantrums, they get all crazy. You're a bad parent if you just don't do anything about it. Amen. I remember growing up, you know, going with my mom to a grocery store, and, you know, we'd see some kid, and he's just, like, throwing a fit. He's throwing himself on the floor. He's just, like, I mean, he's doing the whole theatrics and everything. And I remember, my mom, you know, I was little, my mom used to tell me, man, if he was my child. And she would look at me, and she's like, you better never do that. I've been learning from the fool for a very long time. Because I looked at him and I was just like, yeah, because my mom can whoop. So I'm not going to do that. If my mom says no to a candy bar, it's a no and I'm not going to ask again. The bad part is if you just don't do anything about it. Okay? And I understand, you know, disciplining your children can get tiresome and wearisome. You feel like you're not making any progress sometimes. But you are making progress. Okay? Just remain faithful, trust God's word, just keep doing it, keep plugging away, and in the long run, it will pay off, okay? But the problem is this. You know, we expect children to behave that way and to not accept correction sometimes. It's when an adult does that, then it becomes a problem. So the adult who does not accept correction was the child who did not get the spankings when he was smaller. So, hey, you want to raise a fool for a child as an adult, then don't spank them when they're younger. That's a good way to raise a fool. They don't like correction. And let me just say this, is that sometimes I have to deal with this in church. Where I, you know, people ask me for advice or they ask me for counsel. And, you know, I give them my advice, I give them my counsel, and then they just do the complete opposite. Right. And I'm like, that was foolish. Why even come? You know, it's just like, but let me explain something to you. Sometimes people come for advice and counsel, not because they really want advice or counsel. They want you to tell them what they want to do. Right. So all they really want is for you to just kind of confirm what they really want. You understand? Whereas, you know, I'm not going to tell you what you want to hear. Right. I'm just going to tell you what I believe is benefiting you or will benefit you. And, you know, but sometimes Christians, they lean on their own understanding. They think to themselves, well, what do you know, pastor? You're only 35. You know, you haven't been pastoring that long. And I think we should do it this way. Okay, then don't ask me. Right? It's like, don't ask for advice. If you're asking for advice and you get the advice that you don't want, you shouldn't have asked in the first place. Okay? I know that's a little rough, but, you know, I love you guys. You understand? And this is preventative. Okay? You know, and here's the thing is that I give you my advice from my personal experience, but you know what? My experience is not the only experience I have, believe it or not. I have the experience of people who have been in the ministry for 40 plus years, 50 plus years that I've gleaned wisdom from and I've taken, you know, because I'm young. I understand that. So therefore, I've hung around wise people to get wisdom from them because I know if I'm going to be a pastor, I need to help people in these areas. When people don't take my advice, you're basically just disregarding the wisdom of the ancients sometimes. You understand? So don't be a fool. Okay? And be willing to take correction. By the way, what's the number one reason why people don't take correction? Pride. Pride. Pride is often the number one reason why people don't like to be corrected. Because who likes to be told that they're wrong? Who likes to be told, hey, what you did there was actually wrong. This is the right way to do it. You know, the person who's prideful will buck at that. They will resist that. But the person of humility who really loves knowledge and wants to learn is willing to correct things because they want things to change. Okay? Where do I have you turn? Go to Proverbs 9, if you would. Proverbs 9. So the fool will not take correction. Verse 7 of Proverbs 1. You're in chapter 9. I'm in Proverbs 1, verse 7. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. They don't like being told what to do. So the extreme fool, we should not instruct at all. The extreme fool should not be instructed at all. Let me give you an example of this. You guys remember the fool who came in and disrupted our service? He's like knocking on the window. He's doing all these weird stuff. I went out there and I didn't give him any instruction. He had alcohol in his breath. He's telling me to F off or whatever. He's saying all these things. And then you say, well, why didn't you admonish him? And do it? Because he's a fool. No matter what I tell him, he's just going to disrespect me. If I bring him in here, he's going to cause some big stir. He's going to disrupt the service. So, you know, I told him to get off the property. He went in the parking lot. I said, okay, great. You know, whatever you want to do, do it. But just do it away from me. Because I don't like being around fools. Okay. Now, if the guy was sincere, and if he's like, whoa, I'm really sorry about that. I didn't know you can see me through the window or something, you know. I really apologize for that. If he was like kind and humble about it, you know, if he was like a regular human being who just is considerate of other people, then obviously we show mercy, folks. Like, oh, yeah, no problem. You know, come in or if you want. You know, you want some coffee, come listen to the preaching. We get him saved. But right off the bat, he's showing pride. You know, oh, I'm not looking to be religious. Even though, and then this is what I told him. I said, well, this is a religious service. Amen. What do you think this is? Like the YMCA or something? Or what? This is a church where people are religious. You know? It doesn't have to be that way. That's what he said. It doesn't have to be that way. He said, what kind of wisdom did you impart into him when he said that? This is what I said. Well, it is, so... He said, why didn't you expound? Because he's a fool. Amen. So why waste my words? Hey, my words are precious, folks. Amen. Your words are precious. Right. Don't waste your words on people who are just going to mock what you say. Yep. So just say, well, it is a religious service. So there, you want me to call the police? I can call the police, you know, and that's it. Look what the Bible says in Proverbs 9, verse 8. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. So the scorner and the fool are likened unto one another. And the Bible says this, if you correct a fool or a scorner, he's going to hate you for it. Yep. So it's not even worth doing it. Who should we be correcting? Look what it says. Rebuke a wise man and he will love thee. Amen. So a person who's wise, you can rebuke them, you can reprove them, and they'll take it. Because they want to grow. Hey, no pain, no gain. Amen. Okay? No stripes to the inward parts of the belly. No cleaning up your life. They understand the connection and the importance of being corrected, being instructed, being told that they're wrong. Because they know, well, I want to know where I'm wrong so I can correct it because I want to succeed in the Christian life. Amen. The fool, on the other hand, doesn't want to be corrected. And in fact, if you do so, they're going to hate you for it. Okay? Why? Well, the Bible says in Proverbs 12, verse 15, the way of the fool is right in his own eyes. Why are you correcting me? I'm already right. That's what they're thinking. But he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. And this is good. This is a good point for you young men. Okay? Because young men today have a tendency to be a little prideful. They can be a little arrogant. They can be some know-it-alls. You know, because they've been around the block for 20 years, 19 years, 17 years, 15 years or whatever. They've been in this world for so long. They just know everything there is to know about life and marriage and relationships. Be willing to take correction. By the way, I'm being sarcastic about that. You don't know all those things. Sorry to break it to you, but you don't know those things. You know, be willing to take counsel. Be willing to take correction. Be willing to take instruction. The Bible says in Proverbs 23, verse 9, speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. Proverbs 17, 10, a reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. So if you verbally correct a wise person, he will benefit far more from that, more than a person who you just whip 100 times. Isn't that crazy? You can whip a person 100 times, and he still won't get it.
Yeah.
At the 100th whip, they'll be like, so what are you trying to say? That's the fool. Oh, you're persecuting me, or whatever, you know? By the way, that's why, you know, prison systems don't work, folks. They don't work. You can give a person 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, 100 years. Not that someone would even live that long. They're still not going to learn.
Yeah.
It's like, well, we just got to put them in. Now, obviously, you know, the reasoning behind putting people in prison is not to help them to correct themselves or to reform them. It's something called the prison industrial complex.
Yeah.
There's money to be made in keeping the prison systems full. Okay, they don't care to rehabilitate people. They don't want to help people out. They don't really want to punish criminals and evildoers. They are the evildoers. They're trying to make money off of the prison systems. But that's a sermon for another day. Proverbs 14:3 says, "In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, and the lips of the wise shall preserve them." Proverbs 14, verse 7, "Go from the presence of a foolish man, when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge." So this is good advice for you soul winners out there.
Amen?
Amen? Yeah. This is good advice for soul winning. When you knock on a door and you perceive that the person you're talking to, you know, doesn't have knowledge and start scorning at the Bible, what are you supposed to do? You go from their presence.
Amen.
You don't stick around and argue with them. You don't stick around and debate them. You don't stick around and try to just like, you know, you don't spend 45 minutes talking to that person. I think Jesus is stupid and the Bible's dumb and I think you're stupid too. All right. Well, see you later. You go from the presence of a foolish man.
Yeah, right.
You don't say, well, why do you think that? Well, do you have a couple minutes so I can show you why he's not stupid? That's not what you do. You go from the presence of the foolish man.
Yeah,
don't waste your time with people who don't want to hear it.
Yep.
And look, let me say this. Let me just say it. Some of the most annoying soul winners. It's a good way to start the sentence. Some of the most annoying soul winners are those who just can't get it. They just don't get it. I mean, the person is scorning, mocking the Bible. They're just not receptive, and they just persist to stay there to talk to them, to just debate with them. You're wasting your time. It's better to just walk away and say, all right, well, thank you. Have a great day. And you leave. Okay, that's it. Oh, but I want to get the last word in. Why? What for? Why do you need the last word anyways? Are you going out soul winning to get the last word in, or are you going out there to win souls to Christ?
Right.
To preach the gospel? You know, that sounds like a rod of pride to me. Okay. Go from the presence of a foolish man. And by the way, this will help you avoid a lot of conflict in life. Right? You know, because sometimes people will come to you and they'll say stupid things that will offend you, or they'll insult you or something. And the worst thing you could do is add fire to that conflict.
Right.
So what you do is say this: well, I'm just going to walk away. All right, we'll see you later. Thank you. Bye. And let it be like water off a duck's back.
Amen.
Don't let it simmer on you. I can't believe you said it to me. I wish I would have had a good comeback for that. And oh, just, you know, you're just upset and angry. Why? Be humble, walk away, forget about it, come tell the story when you come to church. This guy said the Bible was stupid, you know, and he said this. It's just like, that's out there, you know? Go from the presence of a foolish man. Hey, children, the Bible says in Proverbs 15:5, a fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. Hey, children, you want to be wise, you want to not be a fool, you want to be prudent, Listen to your dad's instruction. Don't disregard what your dad tells you to do. Listen to him. And if you're a teenager, you're still living in your parents' house, listen to your father's instruction. Well, my parents aren't saved, though. Yeah, but here's the thing is that your parents have something that they didn't get from the Bible. It's just called experience. There's a lot of people out there who are just wise about life, who've just been around the block, they've been alive longer, you know, they've had trials through trial and error. They've learned things that you can learn from them. So they don't have to be this magnificent Christian for you to learn something from them. Because here's the thing, you know, every person is not born a Christian. Did you know that? Some people get saved later on in life. And people have survived in this world for thousands of years. You know, I'm talking about survive living in this world and making wise decisions and people being people of judgment, even without the Bible, because of the fact that life just sometimes gives you experience. And it's obviously the cause and effect that God has set forth in this world. So people who don't have the Bible and just live life and they have experience and they have judgment, you know, they get wisdom sometimes. Learn from them. Learn from your parents. Go to Proverbs 12. So they hate knowledge. They won't take correction. Here's another one. A fool has no filter. What is a filter? Well, you know, you think of when you brew coffee, for example, you put a coffee filter, you put the beans inside the filter, and when, you know, it's percolating or whatever, just liquid comes out. It extracts all the oils and all the, you know, I'm not a coffee connoisseur. I just drink it. You know, we got some guys here who know the process better. But, you know, you get it. And then, you know, the filter keeps the grinds. Because you don't want grindy coffee. You know, where it's just muddy and it's just, you know. You want the filter to be able to keep that which is unnecessary. Okay? Well, a fool doesn't have that. So a fool would just like, you know, they'll just do instant coffee. Only thing is, it doesn't dissolve. They don't filter what they think. Let me just give you a piece of advice. You know, think before you talk.
Amen.
Even if you have a really good comeback, something that you feel needs to be said, sometimes you just got to keep it to yourself. But a fool doesn't even know what that means. A fool will just blurt it out, say whatever, just blurt it out. They don't think about what they're saying. It can be offensive. Here's the thing. How about this? Fools are just not self-aware. There can be, like, children by, women by there, and they'll just say whatever comes to their mind because they're being foolish. Yeah. Folks, the opposite of that would be to be discreet, to have discretion, to be self-aware, to understand your surroundings, to understand the people and the ears that are listening, okay? And look, obviously, we as Christians shouldn't be vulgar. We shouldn't be, you know, talking about things that are shameful to speak of. But there's certain things that can be said, but maybe not necessarily be said in front of families, children, that they just can't necessarily handle. Especially in church. Look at Proverbs 12, verse 16. So a fool will say anything that comes to his mind. It says, a fool's wrath is presently known. Now, folks, wouldn't you say that we as men, we get angry? Don't we get ticked off sometimes? Don't people just tick us off? Don't situations just make us really mad? That's just a natural thing, right? I mean, I don't know a man who doesn't get mad over something. If you don't get mad over something, you know, your estrogen levels are too high, testosterone levels are too low, okay? Men should get upset about things. That's how God made us. Be angry and sin not. That's what the Bible says. So it's possible to be angry and not sin. But here's the thing is that you have to control yourself. But the person who's a fool is presently known when he's being angry. Everyone knows about it. He proclaims it to the world. He is his own tabloid. Proclaiming why he's upset, who he's upset at, just telling everyone. That is a fool according to the Bible. A fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame. Look at verse 23. A prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. Go to Proverbs chapter, let's see here. Go to Proverbs 14. Proverbs 29:11. A fool uttereth all his mind. Not good. Because we're sinners, and the thought of foolishness is sin. Sometimes we think stupid things. But the fool is like, well, I'm just going to say it anyways. I'm just going to say everything that comes to my mind, every little judgment, every little criticism, every little thing, I'm just going to say it all. Well, the Bible says you're a fool. But a wise man keepeth it in the whole time? No, until afterwards. Because wouldn't you say there's times when we have to say something? Something needs to be said. But sometimes it doesn't need to be said right now. Sometimes it's like, that's a good thing to say, but it's not the right time to say it. So let me just hold it in until afterwards, and then I'll blow up. Hey, it's good to plan your blowing up. You got to plan it, you know, schedule it. Put it on your calendar, your task list, blow up at this time. I think that's necessary sometimes. Proverbs 13:16 says, every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his folly. Proverbs 14:33, wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding, but that which is in the midst of fools is made known. Proverbs 15:2, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. No filter. Proverbs 29:20, seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than of him. Proverbs 10:8, the wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. What does it mean to prate? It means to just speak, just babble. You're just talking. You know, this is something we have to constantly teach our children. My children. You know, I'm teaching my children, like, hey, you don't always have to say something, okay? Just talk. It's not good to just prate all the time, okay? Feel like you just got to say something. But, you know, it's something you expect from children. But as adults, we need to understand we can't just babble on all the time. Right. You know, they used to say, if you don't have something nice to say, don't say nothing at all. It should be, if you don't have something intelligible to say or profitable to say, don't say nothing at all. Yeah. Don't just speak for the sake of speaking. Okay? Prate. All right, let's go. Let's move on. Proverbs 14. We're almost done. Number 4, the fool has no rule over his own spirit. What does that mean to have rule over your own spirit? It means they have self-control. Okay? Proverbs 14:16 says, a wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. Verse 7 says, he that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. Proverbs 17:12, let a bear robbed of her whelps meet a man rather than a fool in his folly. So a fool in his folly, if you're to meet a fool in his folly when he's angry, when he's upset, you're better off meeting a bear in the wilderness with her whelps, her children. That's what God says. Why? Because, you know, at least the bear just kills you and walks away. The fool just keeps going. He just keeps going and going and going. Why? Because he has zero self-control. A bear will eat and consume what is necessary for him to consume and be done. A fool doesn't know when he's done. He just keeps going and going and going and going. Why? Because he has no self-control. And let me say this. Men, you need to practice having rule over your own spirit. Amen. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Yeah. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth the spirit than he that taketh the city. That's what the Bible says. Yeah. Men, you should be able to have some self-control. Okay? And not blow up over every insult or every, you know, sneer that someone makes at you or criticism. Have some self-control. Amen. Be a person of discipline. Control your emotions. Amen. You know, if someone offends you in our church, this is what you don't do. You don't punch them in the mouth. Right. It's never happened here. It'll probably never happen. But that shouldn't be the desire. I'm just going to punch this guy right in the mouth. Or this, you just start criticizing other people about that individual or something. That's nonsense. Amen. A man who has self-control will walk away, be upset. It's okay to be upset. Go to the person and say, you know what, you insulted me, and I'm offended by that. I just want to get things right with you because we're both men. And this is how men should square things off. Amen. Not be like, oh, gossiping around the church and so-and-so offended me. Can you believe he said that about me? It's nonsense. Amen. Don't deal foolishly, becoming soon angry. Don't be a wrathful person. Yeah, but you don't understand. He made me so mad. Well, be so self-controlled then. A stone is heavy and the sand is weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than them both. Proverbs 18:6, a fool's lips enter into contention. Now, I know this by experience because I was in high school where I knew a lot of people who had foolish lips that would just let things fly, and then it would just create a fight. Right. It says, a fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. Now, what does it mean to stroke? It doesn't mean like... Strokes is referring to blows, punches. My wife was actually just telling me yesterday, because I was preaching this to her, not this particular point, I'm just saying like the sermon. And she was telling me, she said when she was growing up, you know, that her siblings would come to her mom and be like, Mom, he hit me. And then she said, did your mouth call for strokes? That's sometimes what it is.
Yep.
Now, obviously, we don't advocate for you punching someone in the mouth, but sometimes people talk so much crap, they're just like, I like some strokes, please. They're calling. They have strokes on speed dial. Siri, call strokes. Right? Because they talk so much trash. They say so many stupid things. They invoke the wrath of others.
Yep.
Now, this is not saying that the person who's being provoked is right for answering the call. Okay? Because obviously that person should have self-control. But sometimes, what I'm saying is both parties are guilty sometimes.
Right. Yeah.
One party's calling for strokes and the other one's answering it. The other one should just be like, I'm not going to answer. I'm going to put my phone on silent mode. I'm putting it in airplane mode. I'm going to delete this number.
Amen.
Rather than answering, and then you actually end up stroking that person's mouth, you know, and then regretting it later. Okay? It says, Proverbs 10:14, wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. Verse 7, a fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. His mouth is going to get him in trouble. Proverbs 20, verse 3, it is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. So for a wise person, it's an honor for them to be able to cease from strife, to be able to diffuse the situation. That's an honorable thing. You know, when there's like a fight going on and you're able to come down and just calm everyone down, remind everyone that they're big boys, and say, hey, we're in church. We don't act like this in church. You guys are grown men. That's an honor.
Amen.
To cease from strife. But the fool will be meddling. The fool wants to continue to fight.
Right.
Proverbs 15, verse 7, the lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doeth not so. Proverbs 17, verse 7, excellent speech becometh not a fool, much less do lying lips a prince. Let me see here. Go to Proverbs 26, and we're pretty much done. Last two points are pretty basic. The fool is unreliable, so don't rely on a fool with responsibility. Don't give them responsibility. Why? Because the Bible tells us in verse 1 of Proverbs 26, as snow in the summer, as rain in harvest, so honor is not seemly for a fool. They don't deserve a position of leadership.
Right.
They don't deserve responsibility. Why? Because it's not seemly for them. It's not becoming to them. Fools don't deserve that. Look at verse 6. He that sendeth a message by the hand of a fool cutteth off the feet and drinketh damage. So he says, look, if you send a message by the hand of a fool, you might as well just cut off their feet because it's not going to get there anyways.
Right.
Because they are unreliable. You cannot depend on a fool to take care of responsibility. Okay? They're like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Lastly, the fool is grievous to those around him. Go to Proverbs chapter 10 and we're done. Proverbs 10 verse 1, last verse. A simple person can be frustrating to work with, but if they are sincere, they will grow and become wise.
Amen.
Respectable, wise, not just tolerable, but they'll be pleasant to be around. It's like you want to be around that person because they're pleasant. They're wise. They bring something to the table. They offer something. It's a blessing to see simple-minded people grow into being wise men and wise women. Because you can see it in their speech, in their conduct, in their behavior. But if the simple does not choose to learn from that, then they quickly become a fool. Because they become admonished and they reject that instruction. And then when they start going down that path of being a fool, they end up being a grief to those around them. People don't like being around fools. We can be around simple-minded people as long as they're willing to grow. But a fool, it's just like distasteful to be around them. Look at Proverbs 10, verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh the glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. What does that mean? The mother's just like grieved, like, oh, I got a fool for a son. The dad is just like, oh, I got a fool for a son. He's so foolish. He's making so many foolish decisions. Why is he doing this? It's a grief. So it's a grief to the parents. It's a grief to anybody who's around them. And this is why parents, hey, invest in your children now. Do your due diligence now.
Amen.
So that they don't become foolish in the long run.
Yep.
You know, I don't want to speak for my mom, but I'm going to right now. My mom's sitting right over there. I'm sure she's very proud of me right now.
Amen.
I'm sure she is.
Amen. Yeah.
Her son's pastoring a church, you know, has a great church. I'm married. I have four children. I've only been married once. You know, I'm faithful to my wife. I love my children. I'm raising them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. We live a fairly decent, normal life. Her son does not drink. I don't do alcohol. I don't do drugs. I'm not involved in any criminal activity.
Amen.
I'm not in jail.
Right.
I'm not involved in the gang.
Amen.
I'm just kind of living a normal life. And you know what? I guarantee you I'm not a grief to her. She's not thinking like, oh, man, why does he preach so hard against the sodomites? Why is he just, oh, this is such a grief to me. I'm sure she's happy. You know why I know she's happy? When she sees her grandkids.
Amen.
Because they're byproduct of her training of me.
Yep, that's right.
So I'm sure she's happy. She's proud. And if that's not the case, you know, then just ignore whatever I just said. Now, I'm sure she's happy about everything that goes on. In fact, anytime I talk to her about the church, she always gets emotional about it. You know? But you know what? I guarantee you there's parents out there that cannot say the same about their children.
Yep.
They're just like, they're a grief. They're just, lives are down the toilet, making bad decisions in their life. Just a grief. Don't be a fool. And if you're a fool today, if I went over these points and you're like, oh, man, you're stepping on my toes. Oh, man, I do that. Oh, man, I'm guilty of that. Okay, change.
Amen.
Receive understanding. Don't make me preach this again. I like to preach this sermon like a year from now, not 3 months from now.
Right.
You understand? Learn from it. Take wisdom. Take knowledge. Take prudence. Learn from this. And don't go like this either. Like it's for your neighbor or something like that. Like it's for your husband or something. Like it's for your wife or for your children. You know, take it yourself.
Amen.
You know, don't start scanning the audience. Oh, yeah, that's for so-and-so, for sure. It's for you. This is for you. Don't be a fool. Grow from it. Repent from that. Be wise. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. And Lord, thank you so much we thank you for the fool, because we learn from the fool. We learn from their mistakes and their disobedience and their rebellion, their anger, their wrath, the foolish things that they do, Lord. And Lord, that's the best way to learn from him. And we know that the parable is incompatible in the mouth of a fool. So therefore, we will look at his life, the decisions that he makes. And unfortunately, the fool is a byword in a proverb, and that's how we learn from them. And I pray, God, that you'd help us to not be foolish Christians, to be wise, prudent, and knowledgeable, Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Song number 364, Standing on the Promises. Song number 364 as our last song, Standing on the Promises.